In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Quicken my understanding. Isaiah 11 says, shall make you of quick understanding. Quick understanding. Alabarado Subariana Madagus. Make me of quick understanding. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, grant us understanding of the word. Open our minds and supply the grace to walk in the truths that we will learn. We have come before you. You represent the wisdom of God to us. We are not rebels to your word. Teach us. Open our hearts. Grant us understanding. Grant us illumination. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Good evening. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's always my joy to bring us the word of the Lord. The Bible says, I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower, and I will see what the Lord would say. Every time spent in his presence gives us access to wisdom. Wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is the dimension of the Holy Spirit responsible for bringing prophecy to pass. When God speaks, the dimension of the Holy Spirit that goes forth is the spirit of wisdom. He begins to coordinate people and circumstances that make for a manifestation of that which has been spoken. I sensed in my spirit, even while I prepared for this meeting, that there will be a mighty, not impartation, but tonight's communication will be under the strong influence of the spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. Every time God is speaking, there are many ways that he speaks, but when the spirit of wisdom is operating on a man communicating the word of the Lord, then it's important to listen. Every time the wisdom of God comes, it means that there is something about his intention for your life that has been spoken about that he desires to be made manifest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All the dimensions of the Holy Spirit revealed in the Bible, they don't work anyhow. They accomplish specific things. Hallelujah. Jesus, we give you all the praise. I want to appreciate our passion for the word. I have noticed personally that the Lord is multiplying and increasing our desire and our appetite, not just for Bible study, but for revelation that works. I think that when your heart is opened to know the truth, it says, and ye shall know the truth. And if it is really the truth you know, there will be an evidence. That truth can make you free. Hallelujah. It will make you free. So you check the liberty you are experiencing in every area of your life. That is, your liberty is what justifies, it validates whether or not the information you are receiving is truth. Because if it is truth, then an aspect of your life should experience that dimension of liberty. If I catch the truth about finances, I should experience that liberty. Is that true? If I catch the truth over my victory in Christ, I should see it demonstrated by my ability to rise beyond the oppressions of darkness. If I catch the truth concerning my health, it should show. Is that true? If I catch the truth concerning whatever aspect of life. So all you need to do is to look at your life. The areas where you still remain a slave and in bondage is a picture of the dimension of truth that is yet to be real to you. And ye shall know, not have. You can have it forever, but it is the day you know it. Ye shall know the truth. And tonight, the Lord is coming with his truth again. Truly, when you have this revelation, you will love the house of God. The house of God is the place of truth. Is that true? Yes. The place of truth. So I expect that by the time we're sharing the grace tonight, someone will walk rejoicing, because something that may have kept you bound for long, all of a sudden you find out that this is the revelation that is needed. Truth. So if you have been a faithful follower of God and his word for a long time, there should be some level of liberty in your life that is compelling enough to want someone to listen to what you are listening to. You can't claim you are around truth for an appreciable period of time and then every area of your life is helplessly in bondage. No, sir. That means you've been around the environment of truth, but you have not listened carefully or engaged diligently. We have learned that being around the truth does not bring transformation. It doesn't even bring liberty. The truth personified, Jesus, the word himself. There were people who lived with him and ate with him, yet they did not change. Being around the vicinity of truth does not guarantee liberation. It doesn't guarantee transformation. Are we together now? Lord, help me to understand and receive the truth. Can you pray that one prayer? Help me understand. Shabrakatu sukarya takasubrast. Na brandazas yahasakorushia. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, that you have received, that you have engaged, will set you free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have been examining, we started right from last year, what I would summarize as success systems, because I believe that is the will of God for us to rise, to excel. And the Lord has been opening us up to all the dimensions that are prerequisites for a life that becomes a validation of everything Jesus said in the Bible. It is my goal that we excel in every aspect of our life, not just in one area at the expense of another. Hallelujah. And the Lord helped us to share a lot of things, and I just feel stirred in my heart to still share tonight along the side of relationships, because I believe that our success in life is based on relationships. I have grown to appreciate the power of relationships. Hallelujah. I will pick an aspect of it to share today, and then it will bless us, and then we'll also get into, you know, we're in the season. February usually are seasons when ministries focus on aspects of relationship, not necessarily marriage and love, but then I think it's valid for all times. If you do not understand relationships, you will never prosper in life. You will never be victorious. It is true. It's a fact. In all your knowing, in all your understanding, no matter your business acumen, no matter your educational qualification, no matter your level of spirituality, if you do not understand God's system of relationships, then you stand a chance to being a failure and a frustrated personality. I've taught us here that the easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships. Your relationship is a stream of income. Your relationship, greater than any invention, the only thing that validates invention is because men are there to appreciate and reward it. This is the world of men. You have to understand men. I watch with shock and wonder how we get whipped over issues that should give us cheap victories because we ignore the systems of God. The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships. I told us that relationships are currencies. They can purchase anything money can buy. There are seven currencies we use to purchase realities in this realm. That's the lowest, and the seventh of them is money, financial resources. There are many other currencies that are used. Integrity is currency. Godliness is currency. The anointing is currency. Relationship is currency. Anything money can buy, relationship can pay for it. Anything. The only thing that gives value money, our money value, is that there is a hand to collect it and reward you. One person can open 100 doors of opportunity for you. Sometimes we really don't need so many people in our lives in terms of favor and open doors. You just need one person sent by God and will open a door. I've taught us that who likes you can make all the difference in your success. God has trained us to understand that we do not ignore men and prosper. You exalt God above men, but you ignore men. Every prophecy will remain barren in the realm of the spirit. Even God had to look for men to cooperate with him, and he still does till today. So who likes you can make a difference. A king loved a village girl and she became a queen. A king hated a queen and she lost her place. God so loved men and they became redeemed. It matters who likes you. Everything reproduces on the basis of relationship. Everything. Everything in life. Your success, your failure, your spirituality, everything in life reproduces Adam, where art thou? I heard your voice, but I hid because I was naked. What relationship entered between us to make for that? Who told you? It didn't say what happened. Who told you? Your neglecting my laws have been because another individual, another personality was introduced. Everything reproduces on the basis of relationships. Your resources in life, your finances, your access will always come out of relationships. Your resources will always come out of relationships. I'm just reading with you what I, as a preamble, favor is who God has made to like you and their willingness to communicate benevolence to you. Favor is who God has made to like you. It's amazing how your life can change when the right people like you. It's true. The Bible is full of hedonistic kings who fell in love with certain individuals, like Pharaoh to Joseph. And all of a sudden, their lives changed. Like Daniel in Babylon. Two men had a similar dream. And for one person, it meant the favor of the king. He was restored as the wine presser. For another person, it was death. And they hung him and the birds of the air ate him up. But I've taught us again that relationships don't maintain themselves. This is the most important part of my conversation. Relationships don't maintain themselves. The parties involved must commit to maintaining it. Any kind, it doesn't just have to be love relationships, marriage or this, no, any kind. Business relationships, your relationship between you and the Holy Spirit, your relationship between you and your friends, you and parents, love relationships, marriages, business, career relationships. No relationship maintains itself. The parties involved, doesn't matter how many, they must commit to maintaining it. And the Holy Spirit stirred in my heart to teach us a dimension today of relationships that I think will really, really bless us. There are not many times when I stand and I tell you that a teaching will bless you. If tonight's teaching does not bless you, something is really wrong with your understanding. Hallelujah. I title what I'm about to share, What is Love? Understanding relationships. What is love? This is not about love relationships necessarily at all. It's more serious than that. It's a subject that God has, is something that God has revealed to me that I think the body of Christ needs to understand. What is love? Jeremiah chapter 31.
I love.
Verse 3.
I love your presence. I love. I love your presence. I love. I love you, Jesus.
It says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, please read with me, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. This is God speaking. I have loved you with an everlasting love. The basis of my relating with you is love. It took my loving kindness to draw you to myself, to receive of my benevolence. Now, it is this love that we want to consider. What is love? John chapter 3 verse 16. Very popular scripture. Many of us have not read it for a long time because of our pride of believing we know what it says. John 3:16. For God, read the first, the third, and the fourth word. One to read. So loved. So loved. That's the key word. Forget about what he did later on. The foundation for anything that was done. So loved. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and in my loving kindness I have drawn you to myself. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Whatever he did is a subject of another day. The most important thing, you can say he gave his only begotten son because he so loved the world. Are you seeing that now? The foundation for his benevolence and his sacrifice was the extent of his love. Love is a word that is used greatly in our world today and in our society. We attach it to our affection, affinity for things. You hear people say, I love you. I love my car. I love my boss. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children. I love Jesus. I love koinonia. Is that true? And so it's a word, it's not a word that is new or strange, even foreign. Even little children will tell you they have an idea. We have always associated love with something that is positive. But I just want to help us, because knowing this will turn every aspect of our lives around. Not just relationships, finances, our walk with the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. It's a word that in many respects is carelessly used. Many people do not understand the gravity of what they are saying. I love you, or I love your shirt. I love this phone. I love this book. I love Jesus Christ. I love my wife, my husband. I love my father. And for many of us, and I think largely our society, societally speaking, we are victims of this. Every time we mention the word love, usually the scope of our understanding, please listen, the scope of our understanding is hinged around the emotions or attachment. We use the word love. From a layman's perspective, many people just use it to explain the goodness, the positive attachment. Is that true? That they have towards a person or towards a thing. So for many people, the scope of love is just emotions, or a word we have invented to explain it. Feelings. Feelings. So when you feel good about a thing or a person, and you are asked to articulate what is happening to you, you say, I love that thing. I love this flower. Why? You say, because it is beautiful. The design made it pleasant to my eyes. And then I have a positive affinity towards it. And I call it love. But you see, I want to share with us a number of things that will help us. Ready? Number one, true love is not emotions. True love is not emotions. It's not feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. There is an emotional component when you are talking about love. There has to be an emotional component. But love is not emotion. If the entire scope of your definition of love for a person or for a thing is just an attempt to express the emotional affinity towards that thing, then you are very limited. Please listen. There is a lot of trouble in marriages, in relationships, in carnality, attachment to things, because of this one definition. Feelings. The word feeling is a psychological word. It's a word that was invented to explain
your psychological disposition at a given time. It's called feelings. An expression of your psychological disposition. So if I am not feeling all right because of a, for instance, a stomach upset, you ask me what's wrong and I tell you I'm feeling sick. Is that true? If someone annoys me and I am not happy, you ask me what's wrong with you, I say I'm feeling bad. So the word feeling is a word that attempts to describe your psychological disposition at a given time. Is God helping us tonight? Please make sure you are listening everywhere, online, outside. Because one of the biggest unbecomings of people is their vulnerability to feelings. For when you become a victim of feelings, both your relationship with God and your relationship with life will be shattered. Because you see, feelings, listen, love is not a feeling. Love is not emotion. Love can and should create feelings. True love should create feelings. Don't get me wrong. True love should create emotions. We'll discuss that later. Without emotions and without feelings, you cannot be committed towards a person or a project. I preach and we run this ministry and do what God is doing because much more than an instruction from God, I'm emotionally connected to what I'm doing. And therein lies my passion for the work I'm doing. Without feeling, without emotion, there is no basis for being passionate. But love is not feeling. Are we together? Love can create feelings, but it's not feelings. We know from life and biology that feelings can be products of chemical reactions, hormones. Feelings can be products of whatever it is, all kinds of physiological things that happen within a human being. That is the reason why love that is based on feelings should not be trusted. Is that true? When you build your love life based on emotions and feelings, you will never be able to sustain. That's why many people do not have the strength to push a business idea to the end. They say they love it because the idea reflected a positive emotion to them. Is that true? And so they believe that they love the idea. But then when another idea came to them higher and better than that one, all of a sudden their loyalty to that idea went. And it is easier for it to be a thing. It is terrible when it becomes a person. Is that true? We live in a world where our definitions of love are based on feelings. So when you feel good about a person, you say, I love that person. And for many of us, now I say this with honor, we have watched films, we have been exposed to books, and we have even been mentored by personalities who have been so inclined to emotions. And the entire scope of their definition of love is that it must always give you a feeling, a positive feeling. And if for any reason the feeling is not positive, then it is not love. That is not an accurate teaching. Is God helping us? So if I say, come, I love David Dam, what for many of us are saying, what we are trying to say is that my sight of David Dam, it doesn't matter what parameters I put together to arrive at my idea of love. What I'm attempting to say is that the presence of David Dam creates a positive emotional experience for me. Is that true? And then I can be fooled into thinking that just because at the moment I felt positive about him, I love him. Then tomorrow I now see another side of David Dam that communicates an experience that does not go well with my idea of happiness. Is that true? And all of a sudden I change my mind and say, David Dam, I no longer love you. Remember, that's what you did to the shirt you now throw in your house. See how much you loved it when you bought it. Beautiful shirt, my God. And you wore it and you were happy. Something about that shirt made you feel happy and excited. And you used a wrong word. You called it love. And now, because the shirt began to fade or tear, it started falling your hand and you no longer were confident about it because it no longer created that disposition. Confess right now, what did you do to the shirt? Isn't it amazing how your attitude towards that shirt has changed? You look at it in your wardrobe and have no pity for that shirt. Think of how much you were bargaining just a few months ago. Please reduce 1,000, reduce 5,000, and this is the shirt now. But you said you loved the shirt. Remember when you dried it and for whatever reason you didn't find it, you searched, who took my shirt? But now the shirt is right there. Love. What exactly is love? Feelings are always based, I wrote something here, feelings are temporary dispositions based on something we consider pleasant. Feelings, write it down, feelings are temporary dispositions based on something we consider pleasant about someone or an object. So if David Dam sings, watch this. I give David Dam a mic and he has a beautiful voice. Now when he raises that voice, his flawlessness, his vocal discipline, his artistry, the ability to coordinate himself musically sounds pleasant to me. That gives me a basis for feeling right about David Dam. Is that correct? And now I may be tempted to call that feeling love. It remains love for as long as David Dam is singing. What if he's sleeping? What is the name of the experience? The difference between singing and snoring, they all make sounds. One is coordinated, one is not. So they are all coming out from the same person. That's the interesting thing. All coming out from the same personality. Now one is coordinated. Please understand what I'm teaching you. And then it is pleasant to you. And he becomes likable all of a sudden. You are drawn emotionally based on something. Now most of us may not admit that that's what is drawing us. Is that true? And then the person now snores, for instance. And then that experience does not go well with your disposition and you begin to lose that favor. Our world is in danger of losing it if we do not understand what love is. I foresee that if we do not know what love is, many marriages will break, many relationships will not even exist, many businesses will never grow to be big enough. Many ministries, many leaders will not be able to rise because of this mistake of feelings. Building anything on just feelings and emotion is a guarantee for failure and frustration. Please hear what I'm saying. Building anything at all just based on feelings and emotion is a guarantee for failure and frustration. When you build a business on feeling, when you build a relationship on feeling, when you build marriage on feeling, when you build your walk with God on feeling, when you build your spiritual growth process on feeling, that's what makes a lot of believers start feeling bad. I used to feel the presence of God in a way. When I'm about to climb the stage, I feel that thing. When I feel it, I know God is there. And right now, I'm about to pray for sick people and I don't seem to feel it. And they believe God is not there with me because we have been trained. We don't ignore feelings, but feeling is not love. Feeling has brought a lot of people into trouble. There are marriages that are in trouble today because of the mistake of feeling. Listen carefully. There are relationships today that are in shambles because of feeling. There are businesses, there are careers, there are people today who are in geographic regions that they should never be. Ask them what happened. They say, I felt so. There are people who should never be close to certain personalities. There are people who should never be involved in certain businesses. It's like an emotional rampage. Feelings. They drive us up and down. And so we begin to vacillate based on whatever disposition we have at the moment. When a revelation sounds good to you, this is wonderful. And then you love the revelation, so you say. Then the day you understand the gravity of that revelation and it does not go well with you, you throw it away. Love is not feelings. Is God helping us? There are many things in life that have capacity. Please look up. There are many things in life that have capacity of creating positive emotional experiences for us. Looks can create that. You know that? When you see a guy or a lady or whatever individual or a thing, once it is good looking, it can create a positive experience for you. Education, when you see someone who is well learned, someone who has been able to acquire certifications of all kinds, they have a way of creating a positive disposition. Is that true? Appearance, when you see someone looking sharp and looking nice, beautiful and handsome. When I stepped in and I saw our worship team, they were all looking gorgeous, wonderful people. Right from outside, I saw our ushers too. They were looking beautiful. I had a positive disposition towards them. Are you following me now? Orientation, when you see someone who is exposed, vast, intelligent, he has a great command of his intellect, well-developed understanding about several aspects of life, and the person has an opportunity to articulate his understanding before you, naturally, you will be drawn towards the person. There are other things like wealth, finances. Finances have the capability of creating pleasant experiences. Why? Because they are able to be exchanged for a solution you desire. You can exchange money for a solution that you desire. Could be medically, could be spiritually. You can use money to buy a Bible. You can use money to move from being a tenant to a landlord. It can give you a lot of options. Godliness and spirituality. When you find out that someone has a very high level of understanding with God, that disposition can cause pleasantness. But none of those things in themselves equate to love. Is God helping us? Because you see, many of our marriages, many of our relationships, many of our businesses are hinged on physical things that were pointed out and used as references to mean what we call today love. So when you meet the gentleman and say, why do you love this lady? He says, because she's beautiful, or because she has character, or because she did whatever it is. Why do you love this gentleman? He says, he's responsible. He loves God. Doesn't run around. He's well cultured and he's visionary. Those things look very sincere, and they are, but that's not love. Are we together? Why do you love this intelligent entrepreneur? Oh, this guy is very sharp. His business acumen is sound. The result he has to show for it. Why do you love this course you are studying? I love it because I was told there is an opportunity there. I love it because my father tried to study it and it didn't work. Now, you think that those things mean love. They are positive, don't get me wrong, but they are wrong foundations for love. Because if your foundation is based on those things, there will be serious trouble. How many of you have seen an old man and an old woman? Maybe the old woman, maybe 65 to 70 years, and her old husband is wrinkled, sitting on a wheelchair. and you see them hold their hands and say, we love ourselves. Talk to me, intelligent people. We feel emotionally drawn to ourselves. Is that what you believe they are saying? It couldn't be. We make a fool of ourselves because of the impulsive nature of our lives, which has been a derivative of our idea about love. That every time I have a positive disposition towards a thing or a person, then I love the thing or the person. And whenever that positive feeling is not there, we now say, I do not love the person. That's not God's idea. That's not the definition of love. Hallelujah. The Bible says, those that God loves, he chastises. How do you equate chastening with love? Impulsive marriages, impulsive businesses, impulsive relationships, impulsive career pathways, and all these mood swings that come in life are products of dependence on feelings to make destiny decisions. There are people, I remember talking to a lady one, or was it a gentleman one day, and he came and met me, said, I want to read a course. I said, why? He said, because I like the name. That's exactly what we're talking about. Are we together? Chemical engineering, architecture, neurosurgeon, aeronautic engineer. You know, so the name is charismatic, and we do not understand the gravity of what is involved, and we subscribe for things that we start regretting from day one. Is that true? Many people have been whipped by the sad reality that they were not ready for what they subscribed for. This happens in relationships. It happens in businesses. Listen, if you listen to what I'm teaching you tonight, I promise you, you will walk out here happy and you will live happy as far as relationships are concerned. Feelings can be deceptive and are not an accurate measure of love. Write it down. Feelings can be deceptive. Feelings, all kinds. Feelings can be deceptive and are not an accurate measure of love. Ask any married man and married woman. Ask any mother and her children. Ask every father and the children. Ask any leader and his subordinates. They will tell you that if you depend on feelings as an index to measure love, you will be deceived many times. There are times that you are having the greatest manifestation of the presence of God in your life and you will not feel nothing. But at those times, your relationship and walk with God are to incredible proportions. But because you have programmed yourself into believing that because you felt his presence and he shook your body, that meant you were receiving an impartation. How many people walk out of miracle services angry because they did not have a feeling? They expected to fall down. Is the noisemaker who was sitting close to them that was not even prepared in his spirit, who was falling up and down, and they go back feeling pained and disappointed and say, Lord, you mean you watch me like this, fasting, I didn't even break, and this guy who was gossiping and making noise from praise and worship, he was already on the ground. We convince ourselves that because there was no feeling that accompanied your experience, that your senses could relate with, you didn't receive anything. It's the reason why many people don't get filled with the Holy Spirit, because they are waiting for feelings. Feelings can be deceptive and are not an accurate measure of love. Are feelings wrong? No. Are emotions wrong? No. But our society, many of you seated today looking at me, are depending on a feeling to show you your wife. You are depending on a feeling to show you your husband. You are depending on a feeling to love your wife if you're married, or a feeling to love your husband. You are depending on a feeling to serve God. You are depending on a feeling to believe that you are loved in your department. You are depending on a feeling. Feelings are deceptive. Very deceptive. Before I tell you what love is, I want to show you a scripture that blessed me. Dimensions of true love. Let's discuss that. Ephesians chapter 3, please. From verse 17 and 18. It's amazing how Paul gives us his exegesis on the subject of love. Very strange communication that came from Paul. And let's see what he's saying. Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Look at me, listen. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, Paul is confusing us here. Paul is giving us an idea. You know, he's using agricultural terminologies. But this is not where I'm going. Verse 18, he says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Read on with me. What is the number one? The breadth. Number two, the length. Number three, the depth. Number four, the height. So love has these dimensions. There is breadth. There is length. There is depth. There is height. Have you experienced these dimensions in your definition of what you call love? If I ask you, what is the breadth of love and when should it be used? Because it's in the Bible. If I ask you, what is the length of love and when should it be used? Because all these dimensions have their relevance. Remember, he's teaching us to grow in the fullness of God, who is love. And he's fragmenting this dimensionally. And he's saying that love has breadth and length and depth and height. Which one of the four do you know? When you say love, which of them do you refer to? My brother, when you say I love that lady, which of these? Is it the breadth, the length, the depth? When you say I love Jesus, which of them? Because Paul is saying, if that thing you are doing or know is love, it must have breadth. Listen carefully. It must have length. It must have depth. Thank you, media. It must have height. Believers, lovers. Remember, we love God and love ourselves. What is the name of what we have been doing with respect to this? I love you. I love my car. And Paul says, that thing you are talking, there are dimensions. The first dimension, write it down. I want to give you the four dimensions. The Lord revealed this to me and it changed my life. It really did. If these four dimensions are not captured in your idea of love, then never talk about it. These four dimensions I'm about to describe for you, if they are not captured, all four must be captured for it to be called love. 3/4 in this equation is still F. It must be 4/4 to be called God's idea. The dimensions of love. Ready? Number one, passion. The first dimension of love is passion. There is no love if it cannot be expressed in passion. That's why I told you that there is a place for feelings. It's only that feelings is not the entire scope. Please follow me. In this teaching, God is going to be revealing to many of us the mistakes we have been making. Whether in love relationships, even in marriages and our work with God and businesses and relationship among believers around. Passion. What is passion? A strong or extravagant fondness of something. When you are strongly fond of something, it can be said you are passionate about that person or that thing. What is passion? Sorry, I'll hurry up. You can get the teachings. enthusiasm or desire for someone or something. Your passion for a person or a thing is measured by your enthusiasm. Your desire for something. You cannot say you love a person or you love a thing and intrinsically there is no desire. Passion is called an intense enthusiasm, compelling desire. Even admiration qualifies to be called passion. Write this down. The proof that you are passionate about a person or a thing is pursuit. Pursuit. Pursuit is the proof of passion. When you love someone and you love something, you are willing to be vulnerable enough to pursue that personality, to pursue that idea. There cannot be passion when there is an ashamedness for pursuit towards God, towards men. There are many relationships and many marriages, many business ideas that do not have passion attached. So the individuals, they may say that they love this line of business, but I do not see pursuit. They may say, I love this lady, I love this guy, but there is no desire for pursuit. Many say, I love Jesus, I love the things of God, but there is no pursuit. The first dimension of love that must be at work in your life is pursuit. Psalm 8, please, quickly. Let's look at God Himself demonstrating this dimension of love. Psalm 8 and verse 3. This is the psalmist in shock and awe as to why the God of the heavens, with all the dexterity of heaven, will still look down at man. Remember, the Bible said, for God so loved the world, I have loved you. We are not studying love from any relationship expert. We are studying love directly from the one who invented it himself. Because many people have carved out, I have great honor and respect for people, authorities that God has used in the area of love and relationship, but there is a deception that is destroying the body of Christ. Every angry person comes up with a book and any idea of what they believe and begin to mentor young guys and young ladies, and we are destroying marriage, visions, dreams, relationships, because of wrong templates that have been communicated. So let's go to God. How did God express passion? This is what the psalmist saw that made him wonder. He said, God, is it that you cannot do without man? You threw your pride on the ground. Your throne is not enough for you. You look at a man that is so godless and doesn't love you. He said, when I consider the heavens, do you know what he's saying? Lord, you are not dull. You made the heavens without pillars. The works of your fingers, can't you invent another thing to replace that man? The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Verse 4, we're reading to verse 5. What is man that thou art change mindful to passionate? Ready? What is man that thou art passionate? Not the son of man that you prove you are passionate by doing what? Visiting him. You leave your throne. You are not even considering whether people will say, how about God? You are too big for this childishness. He said, no problem. Say whatever you say about me. I am in love with that man. And the first dimension is my passion. I am not ashamed. Let's go back to our world of proud and arrogant people, where a guy claims he loves a lady, but he is still protecting his vulnerability. You are not passionate. You are not in love. Where somebody claims he loves a business, he loves his idea. I love this, I love that, I am a businessman. And you are not serious. I don't see you wake up in the night to read any book. I don't see you go for any seminar. you are not passionate, you do not love it. The first dimension of love is measured by your passion, and your passion measured by your willingness to pursue without being embarrassed. Anything that shame will not let you pursue, don't even start. Shame and love doesn't go hand in hand. No matter who you are, in the world of God's idea of love, you must be willing to throw shame down to pursue a person, an idea, or pursue God. When we were sitting here and the worship team were praising, I saw a Jimmy got up and he was dancing. Unashamedly is a proof of passion. Is that true? Listen, be careful. Whenever someone says he loves you or she loves you, or you think you love someone, before you make a shipwreck of your life because of ignorance, ask yourself question number one: am I willing to be vulnerable enough to pursue? I have loved you with an everlasting love, and my everlasting love was demonstrated by my being mindful. Lord, there are many things to distract you in heaven. The beauty of heaven, the throne room, the 24 elders. And after he watches that orchestra in heaven, all of a sudden they find God thinking. And the elders can wonder, God, what again? And he says, man, sin two, here is the stubborn and careless man roaming around trying to make an image and bow to him. And the angel said, judge now, judge, God, you are wise. And he says, no, I'm not ashamed that as great as I am, God is a weak point man has gotten. This is God. Listen, don't ever marry anybody who doesn't have this thing I'm telling you. Big manism and passion cannot go hand in hand. Show me what wakes you in the night, and I know whether that idea is worth your love. What wakes you up? You snore by 10 and wake up by 11 and say, I'm an entrepreneur. It's not for you. It's very clear that you don't have passion for that thing. You can try other aspects of life. Lord, I love you. And you are praying and then fall asleep and sleep for 10 hours. No. When you are mindful of anything, there is passion there. Is God helping us tonight? Learn this. This is the spirit of wisdom speaking to you. We use words carelessly and do not understand the gravity of what we are saying. Lord, I love you. He says, which dimension is that? Dimension number one, I love you. I am passionate towards you. I am not ashamed of my vulnerability. Oh, David showed us what passion was. He danced before God and the wife said, oh king, again? Were you not trained well? David said, God that took me from the backside, I should not dance before him. God had it. And God said, you dare not stop anyone who is passionate about me. Number two, what is the second dimension of love? Commitment. Write it down. The second dimension of love, there is no love. I've not defined love. Oh, we are just describing the dimensions. Love is commitment. Everybody shout commitment. Do you know what commitment is? Commitment is the willingness to give your time, the willingness to give your energy, the willingness to give yourself to something or someone you believe in. It's called commitment. The willingness to give your time, the willingness to give yourself. Passion talks of pursuit, the unashamedness to remain mindful of a thing. But commitment talks of the staying power. Brothers and sisters, there is no emotion to commitment. Commitment is a product of your belief in a thing. Staying power based on the fact that you believe. So you can see a believer being persecuted and they are going to set fire on him, and he's willing. Lord, I remain with you. Denounce Jesus Christ or die. Is there any pleasure there? No, sir. Listen to me. Commitment is a state or quality of being dedicated. Another synonym for commitment is dedication. I know how committed you are to a person or a thing by dedication. I wrote a definition that when I finished writing it, I just leaned my head and I took a deep breath. And I said, God, this is serious. Hear this. The third definition of commitment is an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. Hi. You must write everything. Let me say it again. An engagement or obligation to someone or something that restricts freedom of action. Look at this kind of dangerous definition. So there is a restriction that commitment can create to your life. The love of God constrains. There are actions that are restricted because of commitment. You have options. You can sleep. You have options. You can travel. You have options. You can go for vacation. But your commitment for your vision, because you believe that if you are committed to that vision, your children will eat from it. So you stay. And they look at you and say, David, damn, what is this that you are playing the keyboard 2 a.m.? 2 a.m. You are tired, you say it's true. It's obvious your eyes are teary. But something else has obsessed you more than the discomfort you are having. Commitment. There are many believers who are not committed to anything. There are many young people who are not committed to anything and anyone. We run away from commitment. I'm a member of Koinonia, but I don't want to join any workforce. That's how I am. Do you know why? Because the restriction that commitment brings is what we are afraid of. Restriction. Is God blessing us? Number three, let's hurry up. The third dimension to love. When we get to the fourth dimension, you give us that scripture again in Ephesians. The third dimension to love is pleasure. Write it down. If you must manifest true love, it must be captured. This dimension, pleasure. What is pleasure? Delight, gratification. There must be delight. There must be space for gratification. What is pleasure? The satisfaction derived from what is to one's liking. It cannot be a war of pain and regrets and fighting and pursuit indefinitely. No. There is a dimension to love that is defined by pleasure. Psalm 16 verse 11. Let me tell you something that is very interesting about love personified. Here's what the Bible says. 16 verse 11, Psalms. Are we there? It says, thou will show me the path of life. Ready? In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. And then he didn't say in the hand of a 24 elder. At your right hand are what? For how long? If your definition of love is all about pain and fight, and there is no capture of the dimension of pleasure, then you are not defining love based on God's terms. Is God speaking to us? Yes. Whether it is a love relationship, whether it is a business relationship, I should come and see you working on a difficult project with a smile on your face. And I should say, but I'm aware this thing is hard. You mean you have to count these things one by one, and there are 5,000 of them, and you say, even me, I don't know why this thing gives me joy. My brother, continue. That's a sign that there is love there. There are many things we do and we are angry and frowning at it. Relationships, career, even work with God. Brothers and sisters, do we not rejoice after we love God? We celebrate miracles here. in his presence. He makes sure that the dimension of delight is featured in our serving him. Is delight and pleasure featured in your idea of relationship? There are husbands and wives, there are people in relationships where there is completely no joy and laughter and delight at all. There may be passion, there may be commitment, but there's no delight. No jokes, no laughter. Especially for we who are very visionary people, it's a side effect that comes with being visionary. Sometimes we can strangle every iota of pleasure from our lives. I have found myself many times being unfair even to myself in this regard because of the enormous responsibilities that I have over my life and over people. I'm always thinking. But the Bible says even God laughs from his throne. Are we together? The Bible says laughter doeth good like medicine. Pleasure must be captured. There are times that I've been involved in ideas, involved in things, and I've enjoyed the beauty and the joy of triumph. Your business should make you laugh one day. Your pursuit of the anointing should make you laugh one day. If you continue being angry indefinitely, it can be a voice that this thing is not for you. There must be a time of laughter. Your relationship must give you laughter one day. No, sir. From January last year till January this year, you have been meeting with the lady or the guy, no laughter, no feeling of relaxation and happiness. I'm trying to be very careful so I don't dabble directly into relationship issues. Are you deriving satisfaction from your pursuit? Now, let me tell you something. If there is no pleasure in what you are loving, you will feel cheated. If there is no pleasure, if I sit down and I'm doing ministry as God has anointed me to, there are pleasurable moments in ministry. People sow into my life. People bless me. I have the privilege of enjoying honor. You all love me and respect me so much, and I'm deeply grateful for that. Those are the fringe benefits. It's the pleasure dimension of love. I love God with all my heart. I've seen his favor upon my life. I've seen him shower me with blessings that if he never blesses me again, I am deeply grateful. There must be pleasure captured in your idea of love. This is a challenge to visionary people. This is a challenge to spiritual ladies. Hello? Spirituality is not an insult, but we have found ourselves victims. There are sisters that are spiritual. They love God. They don't know the inconvenience they are creating. They strangle this third dimension of love intentionally as proof. They feel so ashamed when there is an atmosphere of relaxation. There are believers that frown at dinners. There are believers that frown at any opportunity to relax and do this. No, no, don't do this. There are more important things they say is wrong. There are fathers that will not allow this incorporated in their family. There are mothers that will not allow this incorporated. Oh, we just feel like getting two chickens just to cut. No occasion. See, that's why it's part of my reservation about things like Valentine. Because they are not exactly sincere. Most of the things that are done around this period are just emotions. They are not revelations. So someone that had no, there's no iota of being nice, suddenly changes for 2 days or 4 days. That experience should not be desired because it will not continue. Am I against Valentine? No, no, do your thing. But I'm just telling you that this is the revelation. There is a pleasure dimension to life. That's the reason why I came to serve God. I came to preach in Koinonia. I didn't come to drink water. However, they know that there is a dimension of love that must be captured, and they kept me a bottle of water. How grateful I am for this. Hallelujah. There are believers who don't know what the Bible calls the joy of salvation. Say it after me. The joy of salvation. Brothers and sisters, there is joy in salvation. If that experience has not been featured in your life, vet what you did that you called born again, or vet the atmosphere you are submitting your spiritual understanding to. I detest a life that is just full of passion and commitment, and then pleasure is not captured. How about schools that flog children alone? There's no opportunity. They are either reading or serving punishment. That's how many of us were raised. That's how many of us were raised. Our families did not have provision. You are sleeping, you are praying, you are reading, or you are walking. Break time, they give you 10 minutes. Now, it looks like it's a nice thing, but it's destructive. Go and ask the most productive people and corporations. They create scenarios and force the people to have times when their minds can relax. Is God helping us? Capture this. Capture this. They met Jesus with little children, as visionary as he is. And then the serious disciples say, Abba, Jesus, you are soon to die. Remember all of this, this. And Jesus, please carry your, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them for such. Most adults will say, these are children. Please, Jesus, let's focus on what matters. Jesus said, I don't know what you are talking about. There was a time they saw him with prostitutes and people. He was not preaching. He was eating with them. Cracking jokes and laughing. If this is not featured in our lives, somewhere we are missing it. Men of God, listen to me. Spiritual brothers and sisters, listen to me. Your service and your spirituality should not strangle. The trouble becomes when your entire life is defined by pleasure. Your whole life revolves around the impulses of pleasure. You are back to the feelings we are talking about.
Yeah, na 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 na. Yeah, 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 na 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 na.
Yeah, na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Yeah, na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. I was told the other day that the worship team went for an aerobic session. I was so blessed. You would think all they do is to pray. There was a time, I think the prayer department were having, was it a seminar or something like that? And that's why after service, you should not stop people from those brief moments where they are, how are you? That's why we crack jokes in the middle of the service. Even if it's a miracle service, doesn't matter whose problem. You have your medical reports, but turn to your neighbor. Tell them I love you. Say God bless you. That's why after service, I say hug someone and say something. Some of you, as soon as the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, you frown your face, you go and stand outside. Listen, I respect your commitment to vision, but you are robbing yourself and God and your environment of this dimension of love. Friendliness, this dimension. Let's hurry up. Number four. If God is helping you, say amen.
Amen.
The fourth dimension of love is sacrifice. Sacrifice. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God. It is these compositions that make the fullness of God's love. What is sacrifice? Giving up something you consider valuable for the sake of someone or a better cause. Giving up something you consider valuable for the sake of someone or a better cause. Giving up something you consider valuable for the sake of someone or a better cause. You must give up something if you want to fulfill the last dimension of love. Sacrifice talks of constraint. Sacrifice talks of inconvenience. Very uncomfortably, sometimes sacrifice talks of pain. A language our generation does not know again. Pain. Constraint. The inconveniences that if need be, you may have to go through because of someone or a cause that you consider to be nobler. Please look up. I have mentioned four parameters. Ready? What's number one? Passion. What's number two? Commitment. What's number three? Pleasure. What's number four? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Is sacrifice featured in your idea of love? Love for your vision. Love for your assignment. Brothers and sisters, we are all happy right now enjoying what God is doing here. But how many of you know that since as early as maybe sometimes 7 in the morning, work is already going on in CGC here? Prayer department members came by 4 o'clock, praying for at least 1 hour for this meeting. The worship team here, several people, you came and found seats arranged already. You came and found the seats clean. Sometimes during the rainy season, you see the pain. As soon as you share the grace, you are going to hug one another and go back. Every week, I leave this place past 12, the next day, past 12, because I have to spend an extra 1 or 2 hours standing. The moment I come for Koinonia, I sit down only for a few minutes. Once I get up standing, it is until I leave. While you are sitting, I'm standing. Sometimes during the workers' retreat, I am standing from at about 9, sometimes till evening or night. And afterwards, I may still have to counsel people and go back. Show me your sacrifice as a proof of love. Show me the sacrifice you are doing for that sister as a proof that you love her. Show me the sacrifice you are doing for that brother. Show me the sacrifice you are doing for your wife, your husband, your children. If there is no sacrifice, there is no love. Love is measured by sacrifice. Not sacrifice alone, but it is an index. I look at parents and I see how they care for their children. I look at other parents, I see how irresponsible they are over their children. Oh, we need school fees, or we need something. I need to do something. And they say, I love you. No, sir. Lord, I love you. And then you want to give offering. You came with 2,000. You remove 100 naira and return it back. You remove 50 naira and return it back. Then you remove the old 20 naira and God is watching, saying, is that what you call love? Sacrifice? These people are standing, every single one of them. I'm here preaching, you are here enjoying. And male and female, they are standing. If we stand during Koinonia vigils, they are standing. When they get tired, they go back to rest a bit. Some of the people come, sacrifice. Believers don't understand the language of sacrifice. Every little inconvenience, there's no AC, there's no this. Sacrifice. The sacrifice of waking up in the night, whether it's convenient or not, to pray. The sacrifice to pursue and study. The sacrifice to delay gratification with your finances. God gave you one small 1 or 2 million. Instead of blowing it to live a fake life, you say, let me pay the price and sacrifice this so that my children will eat what I did not eat. Sacrifice. How many selfish parents, I'm sorry to say it with all due respect, they saw the future of the children. They saw their present. They would have paid a price. Some of us would have been happy now. But they chose their belly at the expense of a generation. They had the opportunity to have bought the land in 1964, 1974. Just buying the land without developing it. Instead of going for one polo club competition, they would have used that money to buy the land. That single land would have been over 100 million today. And they would have been able to train everybody, empower their young men, support their sisters. But selfishness. And they look at you and say, children, I love you. No wonder the resentment rises in many young people for their parents. There is no sacrifice. You hardly will hate someone or a thing that sacrifices. How many leaders claim they love their people? How many pastors claim they love their members? There is no index to measure sacrifice. Everything that is an inconvenience goes to the members. The convenience comes to the pastor. No, sir. A true shepherd lays down, does not walk on his sheep, lays down. What are you laying down for your wife? What are you laying down for your husband? What are you laying down for that, come darling, for that lady you want to get married to? What are you laying down for the guy you want to get married to? His birthday is coming. Oh, let me put something small. You call him, hello sir, your birthday is coming. Can you give me the money to cook for you? Is that sacrifice? Is that sacrifice? Is that sacrifice? How many of our parents claim that they love a student or they love whatever? They come into a city where you are there, carry out a business transaction, cannot even drop a small envelope. It's when they leave, they say, I came there. There is no sacrifice. Sacrifice is not about convenience, so do not expect it to be convenient. There are times, both for God and men, it will inconvenience you. Ask any married man. There are times you are in a straight betwixt between your child's school fees and another equally important thing, but you may have to lay it down. Bless God for some of our mothers that will not buy one wrapper for 5 years so that their children will eat. Now that's love to me. Bless God for some of our fathers who would rather park the car and not take 400,000 to buy a new gearbox. He says that 400,000 can sponsor my children. Let me send them to school. Not so that they will feed me back when they are graduates. That's investment. That's not love. Are we together? Our generation does not understand the language of sacrifice. Sister, let me tell you, you are not a good wife if you don't understand sacrifice. Unfortunately, you know I love our sisters, but there is a deception that is looming across the horizon where many ladies believe everything about relationship is all about their pleasure and enjoyment. Anything that has to do with a little sacrifice, they frown and revolt and rebel. No. How about brothers who think because you are a celebrity figure, because you are this, you are a graduate, you are working in an oil and gas company, and all these things are happening, you want the lady to worship you forever because you are this? Somebody is lying to somebody somewhere. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. How many businessmen cannot make sacrifice for their future? How many young men? I look at some, not necessarily here, I look around and I see young people that I know don't have anything much. I see what they are wearing. I watch their shoes. Even a millionaire is not wearing that kind of shoe. And I ask them, what do you have in saving? Nothing. And that person wants to marry, and that person is looking at a lady he loves or a guy that he loves. How many ladies carry their future and use it to make themselves beautiful today? No sacrifice. People are poor, not just because the devil is powerful. This sacrifice is what we lack in our generation. Hallelujah. You are considering a relationship, or you are considering marriage, or you are married. Please don't go into it. It's not a sin. Be ready for sacrifice first. There are men who will come back with salary and ask their wives, my wife, Can you give this person 20,000, whereas you have your own 1 million? Let's tell ourselves the truth. And it starts from relationship. Sacrifice. These four dimensions are the dimensions that spell love. Give us Ephesians chapter 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's hurry up. Verse 18. That you will be able to comprehend with all the saints, and that includes the family of Koinonia, what is the passion and the commitment and the pleasure and the sacrifice dimensions that are involved. The Bible calls these dimensions the fullness of the love of God. I want you to look at this carefully. Which dimension? So when you say, brother, I love you, or sister, I love you, or destiny, I love you, or Jesus, I love you. My question again is, which one of them? All of them? Jesus, I have pleasure towards you and the things you can give me. He says, wonderful. How about sacrifice for me? How about commitment for me? No, I don't have those ones. Let me show you a secret, brothers and sisters, that will give you an opportunity to enjoy your marriage, your relationship, your vision. Whether you are born again or not, if you subscribe to these four templates on anything, you will succeed in it. It's true. Some of the best, I've studied some of the top business entrepreneurs around the world. They subscribe to this template. They may not acknowledge Jesus. Don't just look at their results. Look at their passion. Look at their commitment. Look at the pleasure they derive from what they are doing, no matter how cumbersome. And then look at the sacrifices. I studied one particular businessman, and when I saw what that guy went through, I said, compared to what he went through, I still think that the world still should reward him. His name is Nikola Tesla. Tesla is one of the Genesis. Had about 700 patents to his honor. He lived a secluded life of sacrifice, creating the inventions today that we accredit to different people. It was the product of the pain of that man. Didn't get married in his life. Didn't do a lot of things. Began to research many. He was light years ahead of humanity. And he died living his blessing, sacrifice. I watch Miles Monroe's videos, great mentor in life and in death. I see how that man cheated death. He's long gone, but his wisdom still guides us. There is illumination, the touch from his experiences guide us towards a great destiny. What are you willing to lay down for the anointing you claim you want? What are you willing to lay down for the kind of lady you are praying for? What are you willing to lay down, sister, for the kind of husband you are praying for? It is free, but it's not cheap. You must be willing to lay down something. Lord, I want a visionary guy. I want somebody who loves God. God says they are all available. Let me see what you are willing to lay down. Can you lay down the time, the ego, the inconvenience? Will you be able to submit to such a man with gladness as one who is worthy of your honor for his paradigm? Oh Lord, I have my own ego. I don't want to be cheap. And God says, all right, go and find men who are like you. But if it's my son you want, you must be serious. Oh Lord, I want this lady, beautiful, gorgeous, whatever parameters you use. And God says they are available. But gentlemen, let me see what you are willing to lay down. A lady who is that virtuous deserves a responsible man. A lady who is that virtuous, God will tell you, deserves a blessed man. If you consider that lady to be priceless enough, then you must rise to the occasion. We have this pride in our world that all fingers are equal. It's a lie. That includes human beings. Sister, there are some kinds of brothers God will never give you the way you are. It's not a bad talk. It is true. God is not a fool. He gave unto one 5 talents. 2. This is God, oh, who is not unjust. God is not unjust, but he gives one 5 talents. I talk to brothers, and sometimes when I hear brothers, I ask them question, what kind of sister do you want? When they describe that lady, I look at the brother and I know he's joking. I already know his prayer will not be answered, because God is not a fool. If you want the level of qualitative sister you are making for you, because God will not yoke people unequally. No, sir. Lord, I want a ministry like Benny Hinn. And God says, really? Are you willing to do what Benny Hinn is doing? That for 2 weeks he can close himself and nobody will see him. At the beginning of a new year, the first 7 days, nobody sees him. Dry fast, he's alone with God, accessing power. Don't let the suit deceive you. If you want to marry Benny Hinn, you must be able to be like him. otherwise you'll be unequally yoked. You will carry pleasure into the relationship. And Benny Hinn will say, you love that. Benny Hinn came from this secret place. It's amazing how people revolt when they see the demands for their desires. I want prosperity. Oh God, I want to be blessed. I'm a millionaire in Jesus' name. And God says, no problem. Millionaires from me must be able to say yes, sir, to every instruction I give. Agreed? Yes. Give the only 1 million in your account. I said, God, I don't understand. He said, you had me. You want me to bless you. You want me to talk to someone else who is like you to send 10 million to your account. Prove to me you are worthy to be my treasurer by answering me every time I speak to you. You would think is the kind of Abraham's test that God will say, stop till your internet transfer does send is gone. And then your balance is 1 naira or 5 naira. And you would think God will talk to the person to send it back. It's gone. And brothers and sisters, 2 months after that giving, you feel like dying. And you say, Lord, but I'm not lazy. It took me 3 years to save this 1 million. And the heavens become silent. You think God is not watching. He's looking. One day, this God, one day you are sitting somewhere that is not your business, and someone will come and say, there is a contract somewhere. Do you have a company? Yes, I have, but we are not. What do you do? I sell clothes. Leave clothes, shall they come? And he gives you something, and all of a sudden millions enter your account, and people say it's not fair. Say, go and ask him what is not fair about it. Don't be angry when you see God lifting people. Find out what they are doing. The blood that drips from their altar is what attracts the attention of heaven. When you see a man of God, sometimes you people just hear me talk, oh, the power of God is this, and people are shouting. It's not magical. My brother, find out what my secret place is. Don't claim. I say it. It's grace, but we are not stupid. There is a sacrifice on that altar you see. Just think you get up and touch somebody because the Bible says bless. No, there is a sacrifice. We honor Jesus among other reasons because he hung on that cross. Brothers and sisters, I hope you know there was no covering around him. It's just films that put it, because children will be watching too. That 33-year-old man was hung naked on the cross. His only covering was blood. He would have stopped it, but he said, this is the price for that throne. So don't you dare insult that throne. That's why every demon must answer when you invoke the power in that throne. You don't know what he went through. The highest and noblest expression of true love is sacrifice. It's not the only one, but it is sacrifice. Pray 1 minute over these 4 things. We are still going to continue. Pray while you are seated. Please pray.
How nang Allah shine abani sabonrai shine abani salama Shine awan kesi chata kaunar Allah shine abani sabonwa shine abani salama shine awan kesi chata.
Pray, Lord, give me the grace that passion be captured in my definition of love. Let me be passionate about something. Let me be passionate about my wife. Let me be passionate about my husband. Let's be sincere and tell us ourselves the truth. Are you passionate about the business? Are you passionate about God? Are you committed to the sister? Are you committed to the brother? Or you just want to marry? You want to exit bachelorhood. You want to exit spinsterhood. And you are so selfish that you are not looking to see that you are actually capturing these dimensions. How about pleasure? Pleasure. Your life must produce pleasure to your spouse. Your life must produce pleasure to your parents, to your leaders, to your office, to your company. You can't just be taking. Your life must produce pleasure to God. Yes, all men are not perfect, but your life must produce pleasure to God. Finally, sacrifice, pray. This issue of having it at my terms, ladies, pray. This issue of having it at my will, no, sir. It can't always be the way you want. Life is not like that. Go and ask any married man, ask anybody in a visionary relationship, ask every millionaire, ask any great man of God. There are constraints, there are times it will not go your way. Don't take it personal. There are times it will not go your way. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Hallelujah. Sit down. What then is love? Seeing that love is not feeling, seeing that love is not emotions, seeing that love is not a beautiful face, a macho six pack, seeing that love is not a jeep parked outside, seeing that love is not the ability to cook well in a lady, seeing that love is not even the prayer fervor of a guy, what then is love? For the rest of your life as you live, don't forget what I'm about to teach you. If you master this as taught by the inventor of love himself, higher than any relationship expert, higher than any consultant psychologist, this is God's perspective of love. Number one, love, true love, is a choice. Write it down. True love is a choice. True love is a choice. It's an act of the will. True love is not feelings. When you believe you are in love, then it is a choice. Listen, come to sin. The next time you say, Tosin, I love you, what you have said is, Tosin, I choose you. By the act of my will, I have chosen. Whether or not I think you are the best, whether or not I think you are the brightest, whether or not I think you are the finest chef, whether or not I think you are the most beautiful lady, the most handsome guy, the most visionary, the most born again, whether or not this business is the one that makes me become a millionaire fastest, whether or not this ministry is the most anointed, when I say I love you, I'm saying I choose you. It's a choice. Any manifestation of love, especially in the context of relationship and marriage, that usurps the will of man, is witchcraft. No matter what vision you see about what lady, no matter what dream you have about what brother, no matter what counselors tell you, in the final analysis, your will must be involved. Otherwise, it is not true love. Write it down. Love, true love, is a choice. A choice to be and live with someone in the context of marriage. When you say you love someone, it is a decision you have made to be, a decision to live with that someone, not a decision to live with the person. Look up. If the person is perfect, not a decision to live with someone if things are good or bad. When you say, Jesus, I love you, Now you know what you are saying. Jesus, I choose you. I have gone online and googled all the gods on the earth, and I've seen names that I was never told, but I checked everything and I came to you, Jesus. For whatever reason, I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. That's love, brother.
I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life.
Pastor Alpha chose Annie. He made up his mind that as far as this life is concerned, this is the personality who will be with me. It doesn't matter whether he's happy with her or sad. It doesn't matter whether she's happy with him or sad. Whatever differences arise is not worthy enough to corrupt this decision. Brothers, that's love. If you ever say you like a lady, make sure this is what you are saying. So, as I'm talking now, be checking what you are doing. Are you choosing the person for now, or are you choosing the person? Some of you are about to ask ladies this week, next week. Listen, before you go to anybody and say, I love you, ask a very clear question. Have I chosen you? Or are you just choosing because of your level of exposure? I suspect Emeka is a doctor. I'm not yet clear. So let me say yes to him while I verify. If I find out, I thought he was the one. Actually, it's another face. So I don't love him again. I love you. I choose you. If Emeka says, I know I studied medicine, but the Lord is calling me and he's sending me to Zamfara. Now your love is being tested. You thought it was about a great guy who would be a consultant, have his private hospital, fly you around. Unfortunately, you said you choose him. Many of us young people don't know what we're saying, truly speaking. When we mention this love thing lightly, Lord, I love the assignment you have given me. And then we sit down 2 years. Lord, I said I love you and I love this assignment, but I have only 5 members. Nobody's caring for me. Lord, I'm on my way going. After all, I read this. I can go and start extramurals. And God says, you don't love it. A choice. Everybody say a choice. Say it again, a choice. Ask anybody who has been married for a long time. They will tell you there were legitimate reasons as to why they will feel they made a mistake in that marriage. But every time they remember their choice. That's why when you stand on stage with your wife, they don't ask your father to answer for you or your mother to answer for you. Like rapture, you stand alone. Is God speaking to us tonight? Because what I'm saying is very important. I love you too much, and God knows and sees my heart that I have an assignment to bridge the ignorance and the catastrophe that the devil is programming to happen between young people and young ladies. Many ladies who claim they love many guys have not chosen. Therein lies the revelation of these hilarious mood swings that fly up today and tomorrow. A choice is a costly thing. When you know the gravity, you will not be hasty. You will think well. You won't say, I am 35. I need to hurry up. Time is not on my side to choose. That's why it matters who preaches to you to give your life to Christ. It matters what you are told. If all you are told is that you come to Jesus Christ and all your troubles go away, I believe in the victory of Christ. But brothers and sisters, I've shown you the dimensions of love, and there are times that some of those dimensions will cost you. There are people who gave their lives to Christ and they did not last 7 days. They knew that what they were signing up for was a bomb blast. There are reverends in different parts of this nation who said, I love you, and with all the terrorism there, Jesus, I love you. And on Sunday, they heard the sounds of bombs and they still got up and looked at their wives and said, honey, if I never come back, let it be that I died for the one I loved. And they went and were killed and never returned. They got up that morning knowing they may die. Ah! Who corrupted our definition of love and left it only to pleasure, and that at our own terms? You may not like me for what I'm sharing, but I tell you this, This is the recommendation from the inventor of this thing. A choice. I've made a choice to serve God with all my life. If Donald Trump calls me and says, young man, we want to give you a very noble position in America. You're receiving a salary of $100,000 per month with anything you want. Do you think I'll run and leave you? I know what some of you will do. Just hearing it, although you are not the ones, you will never come to church again. You'll go and cook food and bring for me and say, remember me. Though man forsake me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Though man forsake me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Listen, this work of the ministry you see me do, it's not because I don't have options. Brothers and sisters, this man standing before you is a businessman. I think I'm quite smart. There are many other things I would have chosen to do with my life. Are we together? Yes. But it's a choice that I will stand and communicate the life and the power of Jesus. I never came into ministry for honorarium. Do you know, let me tell you, God is my witness. When I started ministry, I didn't know they used to give men seeds and honorarium. But right now, you see every young man quarreling just because they call him into a small group to share something for 10 minutes. And he finishes, he refuses to go. You call him, come and play keyboard in the house of God. A small church that the entire tithe and offering is not up to 30,000. The person says, pay me 20,000 because you went to a music school. It's a choice. It's a choice. That's why we must take care of our children, because they did not choose. We owe a responsibility to take care of them. Even if the couples make mistakes with their lives, the children must not be victims of it. They didn't choose. Any relationship built by force and whose power to choose is taken away is an ungodly relationship. At every point of your relationship, the power to choose must remain. Listen, that's why those who abuse women are going to hellfire if they don't repent. Those who beat, and when a man beats and slaps his wife, forcing her to make a decision, when a woman beats and slaps her husband, forcing him to make it a decision, when a woman manipulates her husband against his will, like Jezebel, into doing what was not willingly decided, that's not love, it's witchcraft. Every relationship and every marriage must leave the willingness of the personalities involved. Sadly, this extends right now in the days that we live, even to extended families, where parents and in-laws attempt to choke their hands and manipulate the state of marriages. If you must marry my daughter, or now that you are married to my daughter, you must live in London, or you must live in this, no matter what God is telling you, these things are wrong. Love is a choice, and everything around it must remain a choice. Now, let me tell you this. This is how God helps people, especially when it comes to making decisions. You can go to God, and God will tell you, son, I gave you the will to choose whatever woman you want. And you say, Lord, I take that will back by myself to you, because I am not sure of my decision. I know how vulnerable I am. So justify before heaven that you gave me the power to choose. I have returned it back to you as a token of my trust. And God says, now that's it. You have proven to me that if I choose a wife for you, it is not against your will, because you trust me. That's the only condition where you will see the dream and trust it, and the vision and trust it. Not just that you get up and see anything and stand up and blame God. It's a choice. Number two. True love is understanding the value, the worth, and the significance of a person. True love is understanding the value, the worth, the significance of a person or a thing to God, to you, and to humanity. True love is understanding the value, the worth, the importance, the significance of a person to God, number one, to your life, number two, and to society, number three. The second definition of love is understanding value. When you pay $50,000 to buy a car, you park that car in a special garage because of what it cost you to obtain it. Now watch this. Come. Are you ready to marry this woman and take her as your lovely wedded wife? You said yes. They asked her, what of you? Yes, two of you. And then just because she was not able to give you a child. Listen carefully. First month of marriage, no child. Second month of marriage, no child, or whatever it is. All of a sudden, you begin to make derogatory statements. Two men cannot live in the same house. So what you are saying is, I do not see your worth. I do not see your value. I do not see your significance to God, to me, and to society. True love is understanding the value of things. So when you are doing that business, you love that business only if you understand the significance of that business to kingdom advancement, the significance of that business to your finances, the significance to the development of your society. If not, don't say I love it. Why do I wake up in the night and study and prepare for every message and labor through the hours? Is because I love God. Is because I love you. I understand what this information will do to your life, will do to the kingdom, will do to your children and your children's children. Never say you love any lady whose significance to your life you have not perceived. Let me tell you this. Look at me, everybody. If you have any measure of success before a lady or a man enters your life, be careful. Because the more successful you are, chances are that you will hardly see the significance of a man or a woman in your life. There are successful women who are collecting 300,000 as single ladies, 400,000 as single ladies. They are traveling to embassies. They have snapped with presidents. There is every likelihood that they will be bad wives. You know why? Because based on their experiences, almost everything a man should represent has been represented in their success. So when they say they want to marry a man, they find out that when the man comes and says, my food, say, you're what? Are you crazy? I stay in a hotel with 13 towels and servants come and give me this, and you are saying I should pound yam for you? You are reducing me, they say, to a village girl. The best recommendation for such a beautiful sister is remain single and support the kingdom. Yes, you will be more useful to God. It's true. That's why Paul didn't marry. If Paul married, only God knows the version of pain that the church would have received. The wife would have seen her husband less than 10 times in his entire lifetime. Are we together? Understanding value. I watch relationships and I see how the ladies devalue the men because maybe they didn't read certain things or they have not become certain things yet, and you see the communication of devaluation to the men. That's not love. Love is that I perceive your significance in my life. Why do I love God? Or do I really love God? Yes, I have seen the value of God in my life. Aya, for without me, ye can do nothing. So when I say, Lord, I love you and I seek you, I'm not doing God a favor by coming to church. When I come to church, his word cleanses me and gives me an understanding that programs me for victory. It's not a favor to God. Are we together? It is because Vashti did not see the significance of Ahasuerus in her life. So when he said, Vashti, come and flaunt yourself, she said, so I'm now a property. Now, I don't know what he has done, but she has forgotten that that guy is a king over 127 provinces. Brothers and sisters, let's not lie to ourselves. That's a great man. A man who is a king over 127 provinces deserves the honor of any woman who is wise. It's true. So she said, well, I don't know what you are saying. You have money, I have money. You have the throne, I have a beautiful face. And he said, off you go. Then it occurred to her that there are other options. It was a choice to keep you. The same way you say, Lord, if I don't come for Koinonia, Joshua Selma, you can't do anything. And God will say, okay, I will raise somebody that didn't even finish secondary school and anoint him. Is Dr. Paul Enenche that says God will use the calabash to disgrace the pot. He will use calabash to fetch water so that the pot will see that you are being used is not because you don't have holes. It's because God is giving you a chance. There's nothing called indispensable in this kingdom. No. There are wives that when they get married, they don't care again. Not about their husbands, not about anything. There are husbands when they get married. There are guys that when a lady says yes to them, that's the end of it. There are ladies that when a guy asks them out, and now they know that singleness is over, people change and vacillate because there is no understanding. Please, don't ever ask any lady. You do not see her worth and significance in your life. The danger is you will punish that dear lady and you will victimize her. Don't ever say yes to any man you know you will not be proud on based on the value. It is painful to watch a guy do his best for a lady and she keeps giving an impression you are not worthy enough. Or a lady does her very best to a guy and he's communicating, it's not enough. Even God does not do that to you. When he sees your sacrifices, God acts as though he cannot do without you. That should flatter you, but it's true. I search for a man, Ejimi, the God of the heavens, who made the heavens and the earth, parted the sea with the breath of his nostrils, is going around searching. And that search came to a young, poor, small boy called Joshua Selman. And he says, can I use you to shake the nations? God, boy, you can do without me. I know I have limited myself because I love you. I have made you valuable in my program. That's God. If you are married here or you are in a relationship, you should go back and find what significance your husband, your wife, or your friend or your business means to you and to God. I'm giving you a basis. Don't just say yes to a guy. Don't just ask a lady out. Don't just start business. Discern the value. Are we together? Yes. I love our daddy here with all my heart. I love him. I've made a choice to love and honor him, but I've also discerned the relevance and the significance of his authority, his influence to my life, to this ministry, to the advancement of God's kingdom. Many of us do not respect our parents because we have not discerned. When a woman is treating her husband anyhow, what she's saying is, I looked at my life and I've not found where you are valuable. That's not a good thing. When a guy looks at a lady and treats her like a piece of rag, what he's simply trying to say is, my dear, I have not seen your relevance. That's why it's dangerous to tie love to things like beauty and the rest. because by the time she's 50 years old and she's not as beautiful as she was 19 or 20 or 21 when you married her, now all of a sudden, oh, the guy was tall, dark and handsome, and now the guy is suffering from prostate cancer and he has to be relegated to a wheelchair and you are the one doing the pushing. Don't say Job's wife did not love him. Now you know. Job's wife stood close to him. She was frustrated. She spoke anyhow, but she remained there till he was healed. Now listen, let me say one thing that is going to shock many of you. We're rounding up. The only part of love that is unconditional is choice. You know, we say agape is unconditional love. It's true. But let me break it down to you. Not every part of love is unconditional. The choice to remain, the choice to stay with your wife or your husband is unconditional. But the honor, that's going to be the third point that I will give, is conditional. A man is not going to sit down and live irresponsibly and then expect every manifestation of honor that is accrued to greatness. It doesn't work that way. The choice is what should never change. Are we together? God has chosen to love all men, but he does not bestow the same honor upon them. It is based on their alignment. This is God. Let's finish the second point. I love you means I understand the extent of your usefulness and significance to my life and destiny. That's what it means. That means there is no shame of being vulnerable. Ejimi loves his daughter. She's there taking water and enjoying herself. And he's there well dressed. She may pour water on his shirt. Doesn't matter. He understands the significance of this dear lady. There are people looking for children, and God has blessed him, and he's not ashamed to be vulnerable. There are mothers here who were just a few years ago young ladies, but right now they have to run to go and breastfeed their children, and they are not embarrassed because they understand the value of the gift of a child. Please don't get into any relationship where there is no absolute revelation of the value of the person you are bringing in your life. Abuse is a product of lack of discerning value. Whether to a woman or to a man that beats his wife is not just an ungodly man. He's a man who does not love her. Do you know why? Because he has not discerned her value. If I told you this watch was, for instance, 300,000, right? I have placed value on it and say I'm wearing on my hands an object that is 300,000 worth of gold. And then if I remove it and give you, will you forget it on a chair? Please talk to me. You will protect it. Your protection is a revelation of the value and what it can do to you. That you can remove this watch and run to Kano black market and make over 360,000 from this watch. And so if I give you, you say thank you. If Sam tears a piece of paper from his book and gives you, you may forget it on the ground. That's exactly the revelation you give in the way you treat your children. So when a man has five children and does not take care of them, what he's saying is, I don't think any of you will be useful in this life. So there is no point being committed to your future. Value. The keeper of Israel, he'll never sleep nor slumber. He's watching over me. He knows I'm useful to his kingdom. The keeper of Israel will never sleep nor slumber. He's watching over me. There is a law in this ministry. Anybody who is sick, we make sure that within 24 hours, latest 48, that report would have reached me. and the heads of department alongside other executives try to meet the person in partnership with the welfare department. If need be, we send them to the hospital, and as much as we can, foot the bill. We love them, but the truth is we have seen the significance of a precious worker to the continuity of this assignment. I will not be too arrogant to say without you God will still move. I know he can still move, but since he has chosen you, then I must respect it. I can't act as if your participation is not helping the ministry rise. I can't act as if without you. Sometimes we do that thing. We must be careful. Do not be embarrassed to communicate value. There are people in my life who are useful. I let them know. There are people in this ministry who are useful. I let them know. Have you communicated value to those who mean a lot to you? Both your destiny helpers and your enemies are in the same category in your mind. There is nobody that is worth your understanding their value and their usefulness. Number three, we have to round up. True value is honor. True love, I meant to say, is honor. It's first a choice, then it is understanding the worth and the usefulness of a person or a thing to you. And then true love is honor. What is honor? The recognition, the acknowledgement, and the celebration can even be the rewarding of that value that you now understand. It's not enough to know that a wife is valuable to you. No matter how much you love God, without a woman, you will not be able to have another child, another life. So when a woman comes into your life, just because you put a ring in her hand does not mean you treat her like a piece of rag. She is the mother of your children. She is the reason why you are called Abba, Father. Wife, don't treat your husband or you are in a relationship, treat the other party. No. When they say those who are in a relationship, stand up. If you ever stand up as a lady, it's because somebody discerned you enough to ask you out and even sustain the courage to go and see your parents. Please don't take it for granted. Survived all the embarrassing things that needed to go through, and they asked him before the whole world, are you willing to take care of this lady? He said yes. Most ladies don't understand that being a man is very hard. It's easy to stand like a referee and a commentator and a supporters club. You are supposed to bring the school fees. How about by now you should have a car? Let me submit to you, being a man is hard. That's why the prisons are full of them. They try and try and try. It doesn't work legally. They jump a luxurious bus and they are caught. They try. The pressure that women put on men, put on their husbands, buy this, buy that, build a house, buy, they just name it. Because Nigerian film showed that if you love me, you must spend on me. Let's be careful. To be a man is a sacrifice. That's why Jesus didn't come as a woman. He came as a man. Now, I'm not teaching some feminist thing. I have great regard and respect. But there are certain burdens. No matter what human rights movement is flaunting the earth, there are some loads that only a man. A man is a mystery. It's a system. He's not just a masculine figure with a husky voice. It's more than that. He's a burden bearer. Any man you ever see that is paying the price to keep his family or keep a relationship, please respect the person. Don't open your mouth and run people's families. There are men who don't sleep in the night when their wives are sleeping. Lord, open the doors for my children. Don't sit down and trivialize it. Love is honor. The recognition, the celebration, that's what Esther did. When Esther came, she knew she was a beautiful lady, but when Ahasuerus chose her, for the rest of her life in that palace, she honored the king. He said, look, I hope you know that you were choosing ladies. If they were all fine, what of me? this pride will destroy your sisters. Please, I talk to you from a heart of love. When a man who is worthy of honor comes into your life and proves himself to be worthy of honor, do not be ashamed to communicate that honor. A businessman comes into your life and wants to advise you. You have seen his result. Don't act like we are colleagues. Humble yourself and communicate the honor. That's why we don't come before God and do big manism when it's time to worship him. We can kneel down and roll on the floor and say, Lord, it is you that gave me life. Who gave you life? Where your mother is there? I know. And God says, you did this to me. Let the blessings come down. The embarrassment of showering honor between husbands and wives, wives, husbands, students, lecturers, parents, children, mentors, mentees, leaders, is what is destroying people's concept of love. I love you means I am willing to intentionally recognize, acknowledge, celebrate, and reward your uniqueness and your usefulness in my life. So if I say, Pastor Toby, I love you, or promise, I love you, what I'm trying to say is I have come to terms with the fact that if you live my life, I can't lie that I will not feel it. That's honor. And I'm willing to express it. Herein lies the pride that destroys relationships. The pride that destroys marriage. Where husbands claim they can do without their wives. Where wives claim they can do without their husband. When a company worker claims he can do without his CEO. Where mentees claim they can live without a mentor. Where a member claims he knows everything the pastor is saying. Honor the willingness. First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. I know the usefulness of the worship team to my life as a person, to Koinonia as a ministry. I know the usefulness of the prayer department to my life. I know the usefulness of all of the people that represent this ministry. I know the usefulness of the media department to my efficiency in preaching. I know the usefulness of all the people seated outside. That's why we honor you by providing buses after service. It costs us a lot, but for as long as God grants grace, we will continue doing it. It's honor. You honor me and you respect me very much, and I appreciate, because you have seen not just the significance of God in your life, you have come to discern my usefulness, and you are not ashamed to express it. That's why you send the text messages of honor. That's why you sow the seeds. I wait to see you after service, as tired as I am, whether I've eaten or not, because I honor you. God gave me the anointing because you are there. If you are not there, the anointing will not come to me. Much more than prayer and fasting, the anointing is only in my life because there is someone to receive, so I can pay the price to receive it. True honor is mutual. I'm rounding up. True honor is mutual. Write it down. Especially in the context of marriage and relationships. True one-sided honor is selfishness and it is devilish. The woman cannot be the one communicating honor indefinitely. No, a wise man must reciprocate back honor. I honor the Lord. He honors me with his presence. He honors me with results. I can speak and say there's someone in Overflow 3 and a long distance from where I am, the angel of the Lord's presence will honor that word spoken by a small man. Elijah honored the Lord. The Lord honored his word. True honor is mutual. Many relationships suffer. Many marriages suffer. Many business relationships suffer. Many friendships suffer because there is a one-sided communication of honor. So come, darling. The husband sees the value of the woman, showers all kinds of love like Christ's church. make sure that she's looking beautiful, make sure that she's happy, make sure that the children are well taken care of. And then the woman takes him for granted. After all, is your right. I didn't ask you out. You are the one who chased me, they say. Dangerous. There must be a reciprocation. The same way a woman is almost worshiping her husband, like Sarah calling Abraham Lord, going out of her way, doing things she never would have done to communicate honor. And there comes the arrogant and pompous man beating his chest. Many of our loved ones, that's how they humiliated our village mothers. Some of our mothers who came from the village and met a little father who had the privilege to go to school, and he spent his life humiliating our mothers because he felt, after all, you were a village girl somewhere. I took you and cleaned you, and for that you will keep worshiping me for the rest of your life. No, sir. Honor is mutual. Lord, I love you. Son, I back you. Lord, I worship you. Son, I honor you. My wife, thank you for being beautiful and looking wonderful for me. My husband, thank you for being responsible to make me like this. Honor. Are we together? Oh, my son, thank you for paying the price. You took first position. You made me a proud father. Daddy, thank you so much. I have watched them drive children for school fees, but you paid my school fees a session beforehand. I acknowledge you. There will hardly be any fight when there is a determination from both parties to consistently, don't say I know it in my heart, even God knows. My brother, men look at the outward appearance. Don't say I know it in my heart. I love you means I am willing to celebrate your usefulness, not just your uniqueness. I am willing. Are you willing to celebrate the uniqueness of that lady you love that you are about to ask during Valentine? Are you willing to celebrate the usefulness of that brother that God gave you? You are seeing ladies trusting God for brothers. You are seeing brothers trusting God for ladies. You were not even praying and God brought a correct brother to you. You are about to lose that brother because of lack of discernment and lack of honor. God brought a nice lady to you. You are seeing ladies giving men heart attack all around town, and God gave you a nice lady with a meek and a quiet spirit, and you are about taking it for granted. A lady you can count 100,000 and give, and she says, my husband, thank you, but I know that you have a greater need. 10,000 will do the family. Take 90,000 and do something with it as a proof of trust. Not that she pockets and keeps it and says, this wicked man. You have a lady that is that vulnerable to you and can mumu herself for you, and you are not going to behave yourself and honor that woman like you would a trophy. There is a problem in our society. We must learn. We are going to pray tonight. I know that our time has gone, but this is what love is. It is a choice. A choice. Love is a perception of the value of God, of men, of laws, to the usefulness of your life. And love is the celebration of that usefulness. Don't take anything for granted in your life. Don't take anything for granted in your life. You can take this finger for granted until the day there is a wheat load there, and you find out that the pain from this finger will force your leg, as healthy as it is, from walking. That's the day you will know that this finger plays a role. Men who are 7 feet tall died because the small heart stopped working. You small heart, you call it. A great man can run to India because two tiny substances called eyes stopped working. His hands didn't stop working, but just because the eyes were not working, it can paralyze the man. Could it be that what you are ignoring in your life may be the epicenter of your relevance, and you ignore it? Anything you dishonor is authorized to live your life. A husband may not live your life, a wife may not live your life. The person you are going out with may not live your life, but something about them will leave you. It's true.
Shabradeka subriata katobas kalabaria.
I will teach you something next week. We are not long. There is a powerful, the most important part of this teaching is what is about to come. But I'll forward that for next week. Jesus, grant us grace. Do we have something to pray about? Rise up on your feet. Tonight is a sober night, I know. It's been a challenging time for different people. But I want you to remember everything I've said. Love is not feelings. Love is not emotions. It's more than that. Love is not the tingly feeling towards a person or a thing. No. There are dimensions to love. There is passion. There is commitment. There is pleasure. There is sacrifice. And then I define love for you as defined by God Himself. That number one, true love is a choice. Number two, true love is a perception of the value, the usefulness, a comprehension of the need. Don't marry until you understand the usefulness of marriage to your life, to God's agenda. Don't have children until you understand the usefulness of children to your life. Don't bring a wife, don't bring a husband until you discern their usefulness. And then honor, the outspoken, unashamed recognition, rewarding, celebrating of that usefulness in your life. Lift your voice and thank the Lord for the spirit of wisdom tonight. Jabragato sakata briada kata balada bosh. Mandela kosa siyamara suyadaba. Now you can say, Lord, I love you. From the standpoint of the revelation that you have, Lord, I love you. It's a choice that I've made. It's a choice that I've made. I'm passionate towards you. I'm committed towards you. I derive pleasure being with you. And I'm ready to lay down everything if need be for you. I've made a choice. It is a choice. I understand your usefulness in my life. I understand your significance in my life. And I'm willing to celebrate you. No other God can tell his creature, I love you. I don't take you for granted. That you love me, that you died for me. Hallelujah. Just one prayer tonight. Lord, break down my pride. And in the place of that space, create room for this revelation. Let it enter me. Go ahead and pray. Take away every pride from my life. Some of you, what I'm saying is hard on you, but it is the word of the Lord. It is the spirit of wisdom to your life. Shabarakatuka sebra degede baladaba. Lord, burn this truth in my heart that every time I say I love a sister, I love a brother, I love my wife, I love my husband, I love my job, I love koinonia, I love the Holy Spirit, let it be that I have an understanding that I've made my choice. I discern the usefulness and I'm ready to celebrate. I'm ready to reward. I'm ready to appreciate. Hallelujah. Listen, please everyone stand. When you reject Jesus and you say, I don't love you, you know what you have said now. I have the power to say yes to you, but I use my will and I reject you. Number two, when you say no to Jesus, what you say is that I have not seen your usefulness in my life. I've seen the usefulness of a certificate, so I pursued it. I've seen the usefulness of a job, so I'm still dropping my CV, but I have not seen your usefulness. Number three, I do not think you are important and worthy of my worship and my acknowledgement. But I know that there are people in all the overflows and others following online who are saying, Apostle, I never knew that this was what loving Jesus was all about. And right now that you have spoken, I really want to run to Jesus to communicate my love. Wherever you are, our time is gone. whether you are inside overflow 3, you will walk to your projector stand, but overflow 1 and 2, wherever you are, I want you to run and say, Apostle, I want to love Jesus. I want to love Jesus genuinely. Where are they? Where are they? Where are those who are not ashamed? Nobody's closing his eyes. Make your way to the front, inside or outside. Remember, it's a choice. No one can force you. You can sit on your seat, or you can get up and say, Apostle, I'm coming to Jesus. It's a choice. I have an option to say no. I've told other things, lesser things, yes, but I say yes to Jesus. Keep coming. We're out of time. Keep coming. I say yes to Jesus in pain and in pleasure. I say yes to Jesus. I'm willing to be passionate. I'm willing to be committed. I'm willing to derive pleasure from my experience with Him. And I'm willing to sacrifice all for Him. I've made a choice. It is Jesus only and Jesus ever. I've made a choice. I see your usefulness in my life. I've made a choice. I will live my life to honor you and bring glory, like Esther did Ahasuerus. Keep coming. Let's appreciate them as they come. Hallelujah. All of you in front, those following us online, keep coming. God bless you. And then those at Overflow 3, I want you to say this after me. Please mean it from your heart. I've told you what love is, and I want you to say it from your heart. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I love you. I truly love you. Tonight, I make a choice to hand over my life and everything about it to you and to your Lordship. I make Jesus Lord of my life, King of my life, Lover of my life, Savior of my life, from today and forever. I declare that you are my Lord, the owner, the manager of my life. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, the grave is over in my life. I declare that Jesus is my Savior. I receive your life. I receive salvation. Amen. Keep your hands. Lord Jesus, I stretch my hands over these ones. They have communicated their willingness to choose you above all. They have communicated their willingness to love you, to serve you, to live for you. Help that lady. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you saw their decisions. You heard what they said. I command that your power be far from them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I supply upon you the grace it takes to live the reality of this confession. I declare that eternal life is yours from tonight. The grace upon you to live a victorious life, I release it right now in Jesus' name. I declare your sins forgiven. I declare that a new chapter is opened over your life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. Please follow the gentleman waving his hands. All of you, follow the gentleman. They will just appraise you and grant you some information, and then you'll be back to your seat. Let's honor them quickly.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the glorious of God's light on earth.